Monday. Open wide dev fans.
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript, CSS, node modules, barbecue tips, Git workflows, breakdancing, soft skills, web development.
The hastiest,
the craziest,
the tastiest
web development treats.
Coming in hot.
Here is Wes,
Barracuda,
Boss,
and Scott,
El Toro Loco, Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax. In this Monday hasty treat, we're going to be talking all about conventional commits. And if that sounds like something you've never heard of before, then you are going to be very excited about this one, because it's going to be talking about commit messages and a system for sort of specific commit messages that you can write that can then have more intent and functionality within your application overall. Commit messages are hard, and having a system for it takes all the guesswork out of it. So we're going to be talking about conventional commits in this episode. My name is Scott Tolinsky. I am a developer from Denver, Colorado, and with me as always is Wes Boss.
Hey,
Wes, you know, one place where conventional commits will definitely come in handy is your Sentry, because you can get what commit, what version everything happens to if you connect your repo to Sentry at sentry.io, which is our favorite error and exception handling tool that allows you to track all of the exceptions and errors in your application. In fact, you'll want to check out Sentry at sentry.io. Use the coupon code TASTYTREAT, all lowercase, all one word, for 2 months for free. And again, one of the cool things here is that when we're dealing with conventional commits, right, we can attach specific commits to our code in Sentry, or specific versions. You can see which version and what kind of commits went into this code. And it's so nice that you'll be able to track all of this and say, hey, remember that thing that you did? There was an error there. And then in your commit message, you can actually have a better idea of the bug that it fixed or anything like that that you're attaching, because maybe you're creating an issue automatically in GitHub in Sentry, and then you're referencing that issue in your conventional commit. A lot of cool stuff here. So let's get into conventional commits, Wes. Is this something you are currently using?
No, it's not. Like we mentioned a couple episodes ago that like pretty good at commits, yeah. And sometimes we put garbage ones in there.
I don't put garbage,
and that's
ones.
Fine because
speak for yourself,
because
Wes.
You can squash them all into one commit. But I've been seeing a lot of pull requests come in lately with something like build : or fix : or chore : or refactor : and I'm like, oh, that's cool. But then I see it over and over. I'm like, there must be something that people are following, and I found it. It's conventional commits, and this is really interesting to me because, A, yes, it does give you much better history as to what happened. But what I was surprised to find out is there's lots of tooling around parsing these commits and helping you decide what to release or what changed. And that's really interesting because, like, I've been working with the folks on Keystone lately, and every time that they put in a commit, they also commit a .change file, and it will describe what changed. And then when they do a release, they're able to just automatically compile all of those what changed, and they have all these, like, you know, you look at the change releases as to what happened. I was like, oh, that's how people are generating these things. They're automatically doing it. They're not just someone being like, well, what did we do since the last
writing
time?
It by
what
hand. Changed, yeah, right. You know? on what specific commits did those changes happen?
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. And I'm assuming that's what VS Code does as well, because every time VS Code releases, they will link back to a commit that actually happened. So what is it? Well, every time you have a commit, in your commit message, you will write the type of commit. That can be fix, feature, breaking change, build, chore, refactor, test, perf, : And then you write a description of what you changed. And then there is an optional. So commit messages can be multi-line. You can have an optional body, which describes it a little bit more. And then you have optional footers, which is often used for custom stuff. Like if you run Jira and you want to link it back to a Jira tag, you could put the Jira. If you have a specific reviewer, you want to like link up who reviewed something, you could put their name in there, and you could automatically parse those out into it. So it's sort of like a syntax format for code changes that is also readable.
I would say it's a convention for writing commits. Is that?
Yes, that's what it is.
Yes.
You nailed it. You should register that domain.
Yeah, so neither of us, Wes and I, haven't necessarily started using this yet, but we're both going to give it a good try, right? And I think maybe we should do a check-in and talk a little bit about what we've learned about conventional commits over time. So you mentioned that there's a specific format in a body potential footer. That to me seems like I'm going to have a lot of trouble keeping track of all of the details here. Is this something that you're concerned about in your own? Like, I know I have memory issues where I'm going to forget all of the structure of this kind of thing. In fact, when I think about BEM, I have to go through my brain. All right, block. What is the order that they all go in for BEM?
Yeah.
So for people who have a hard time remembering really specific orders and stuff like that, do you think, is that going to be something that you're going to have a trouble with? Or are you just going to pipe this into your brain and leave it there?
I think you'll get to know it because it's git committing and things like that. But I think I'm also thinking now, could there be some sort of CLI
yes.
that prompts you for each of the pieces? There's a VS Code extension I saw. And when you do a commit, it will prompt you for each of these 1, 4, or 5 different pieces of information.
Yeah, I actually, it's funny you mentioned that because I had just Googled conventional commits CLI to try to find the same thing. And I found commitizen, which it does is exactly what you're referring to. It's basically prompts that are saying, oh, hey, what type of release is this? What does this do? Whatever. But I did all...
This is what I want.
This yes. is what you want. And there's also another one. It's CZCLI, which is also a conventional commits CLI, which looks like it has quite a bit of people using it. 10,200.
Oh, yeah. We're late to the game on this, Scott.
We are late to the game on this, but... Let me tell you, I also installed the conventional commits GitHub extension, or I'm not the GitHub, the VS Code extension. And so you do your standard command shift P conventional commits, and then it gives you a drop down saying, what type is this? Is this a feature? Is this a bug? Whatever. And then it asks you for the scope. All right. And I can say no scope 360. It asks you what kind of emoji you want to give this. Oh, that's great. This VS Code one. Ask you if you want the lipstick emoji or the rocket ship emoji. Okay. Then write a short tense description, but maybe it means terse. Either way, write a description. So I did this, that, whatever. And it's going to create your commits for you. And to me, that is such a better way to do this than me trying to remember the actual syntax for conventional commits. I think this to me was the biggest barrier for this because I would look at this and let me tell you, the documentation for conventional commits, yeah, it's pretty easy to parse. But if you look at this page, it can specifically be a little bit overwhelming. If I look at this, I can look at this and I would say, oh, wow, there's a lot to learn here. But
yeah.
If you install one of these CLIs or tools, hey, that's all of the hard stuff out of the way for me.
Let's talk about Semver real quickly. So Semver is, when you see a node package and you see 1.5.2, you might be wondering what are those numbers? And Semver is broken down into the three major parts. There's fixes, which are, so let's look at 1.5.2 as an example. That 0.2 was released because they released 1.5.1 and subsequently 1.5.0, and then they realized something was broken, so they fixed it and released a dot release, which is that. The 1.5 part, the 0.5, is they were on 1.4, but they added some new functionality to it, but they didn't break anything else. So that they went from 1.4 to 1.5 because now there is this new method that you can go ahead and use. And then finally, the one point, the very first one, is breaking changes. So let's say they release something that totally broke how a method on the API worked. Then they bump it to 2.0. And this is kind of associated with conventional commits because you have fix, which is patch releases, the very end of it. There's feature, which is adding new stuff. That's the middle. And then you have breaking changes, which is the main one. So you could associate these and probably even generate your Semver version for your package automatically based on the tags that are in these commits.
Yeah. You know what? I'm really interested in that because if you were to look in the level up tutorials, GitHub issues right now, you would see one that says automatic versioning. And then the body of the issue says, I'm really tired of having to change the version myself. I really think that this could be actually something that could help us out in that regard. I'm really excited to give this a try. I know we are definitely late on the boat to this one. The boat pulled up and left, and now we're saying, wait, hold on, we're going to miss the boat.
Looks like there is already a package that will, based on the commits, will generate a semantic version for you and automatically publish.
Where do you see that?
If you go to the bottom of this conventionalcommits.org, there's tooling for conventional commits. There is one that's just called semantic versioning.
Man.
And it will automatically, and I need that because I've got a couple of packages on NPM, and every single time that I have a change to one, I have to like bump it myself, yep. like yep. Scott just said, and publish it myself. And automating that would be really slick.
It'd be really slick. And also it would go really well with just everything else in my workflow, especially like we mentioned in Sentry, because you can, you know, attach errors to versions, right? Whenever I get an error in my Sentry, it tells me what version of the software it's on. And if this was all done automatically and we could have version updates, micro versions much more often when I'm not like every commit or whatever, or every whatever, it's really going to nail that in just a little bit more. And I think that sounds fantastic. One thing I do want to shout out here on this conventionalcommits.org is just how awesome this documentation is, because they do everything in like the body of it's in like a big FAQ, essentially. I mean, besides the introductory stuff, it teaches you the spec, whatever. But then there's a whole FAQ. And then below that, there's some resources for about tooling for conventional commits, of which there is a lot. You can always tell when something is highly used by how much tooling there is around it. And then projects using conventional commits. So you can check out some people who are actually using it and see what it looks like in action. And to me, this is like gold star documentation. I really love this. I think that it is just the amount of tools and features around this stuff really gives you a good idea of why you should use it. And I think people should take notice about just how neat some of this documentation is. It feels like, you know, those like awesome GitHub repos where it could be like awesome conventional commits. This to me feels like that repo as the documentation.
I wonder if that is the thing.
Yeah, right. Yes.
There's not. It's because the docs are an awesome list already.
Whenever I learn anything, like the first thing I do, awesome blank. I mean, I'm doing a lot of Dino right now. So I was doing awesome Dino. And then you get all the awesome stuff right there. It's almost like it's in the name.
All right. I think that's it. Scott and I are going to try it. And maybe we will, I don't know, maybe 6 months from now, we'll do a follow-up show to see how we liked it, what we didn't like it, and if it made any of our workflow and lives easier.
Yeah. I am very excited to do this. And I'm on board. I'm 100% on board.
Beautiful. All right. Well, thanks so much for tuning in. We will catch you on Wednesday.
Peace.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.